Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 312. It's being recorded on January 22nd, 2020. And today we're joined with a special guest, Ranveer, who we'll get to here in a moment to talk about some super interesting solution that has been built on top of Azure. But before we get to that, we have our news category. It's just it looks like it's just me and Evan here today. So I'll kick off the news thing and then we'll get to Evan's post. But one of the big things in the news this week was around something we were talking about at Microsoft around sustainability. And there's a really nice kind of a calculator that's kind of been built around this. If you saw the webcast that actually was out there around the sustainability project that Microsoft's striving for carbon negative, which is pretty awesome. But there's actually a sustainability calculator that's it's a Power BI application, so obviously built on top of Azure and our Azure services, which provides a pretty cool way for you to kind of do this calculation. So I recommend people take a look at that if you're interested in the green effort and the sustainability.
Yeah, and I'll put there was an interview on marketplace.org with our chief environmental officer, which I did not know we had one. That's kind of cool. It's a really good interview they did with him. It's about 6 or 7 minutes long, talking about all the different things that we're doing here. So we'll include that in the links from the show notes.
Yeah, the other one I had was around DevOps. So for folks who are using our Azure DevOps platform for deployment and your build pipelines, there's this feature called dashboards that are in there. But basically the way you had to do that before is you had to create a team. And then if you had the team, then you could add these project dashboards up there. But now there's a new way to do that. And I have a link to this, so it kind of walks you through all this stuff. But you can basically create a dashboard without even having a team, which is really nice if you're just getting started on your project, just getting everything set up, and then you're adding people up to that dashboard. This is kind of an interesting way to do that. So pretty nice. And then you obviously add different widgets and things to your project dashboard up there. So just a small feature that's been added there, which is super helpful for Azure DevOps.
Yeah, and the other thing the other announcement, right? So we just enabled AAD authentication, so Azure Active Directory authentication for MySQL. Right? And this is really all about centralizing the user identity and authentication within the Azure AD infrastructure. Right? So it's just kind of another way of making life easier if you're using MySQL instead of SQL Server, which has supported that for a while, but it's just expanding that capability.
That's super cool because those are always using the legacy kind of login mechanisms of like a raw username and password in many cases seems to be probably not the securest thing we should doing for apps.
Because somebody has to know that password, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So kind of a light week on the news, but that's okay because it gives us a lot of time to talk about our feature here. I'll go ahead and turn the mic over and let Ranveer introduce himself. Ranveer, if you could tell us a little bit about your journey here at Microsoft and kind of what you're passionate about and the main topic for today.
Yeah, thanks, Keel, and hi, Keel and Evan. It's great to be here as part of Azure Podcast. And my name is Ranveer Chandra. I'm right now the Chief Scientist of Azure Global. This is my 15th year at Microsoft. I came here in 2005. I finished my PhD in computer science at Cornell, and I joined Microsoft Research right after that. And at Microsoft Research, I have been involved in various projects. Starting in 2005, I started working on a technology called TB Whitespaces, which I'll talk a little bit about later. Starting 2010, I also do a lot of work on battery research at Microsoft. And around 2015 is when I started the work on FarmBeat. So every 5 years, I kind of start a project with a longer-term bet. I know it's 2020, but let's see what comes next. But yeah, at the same time, I have been working extensively with different product teams. That's the work on my PhD thesis shipped in Windows 7 as part of a technology called virtual Wi-Fi. It's essentially allows you to connect to multiple networks at the same time. If you're using personal hotspot or wireless display, then that's a technology that's built on top of virtual Wi-Fi. I was also involved in the design of the Xbox One wireless controller protocol. So if you're using an Xbox One, the way your controller interacts with your console is a protocol that I had helped design. So my passion is about how do you connect more people to the internet? How do you connect more people and things to the internet? And once you get all the data, how can you derive new insights on top of that? So all my projects are around that vision that all of us will have great connectivity to the cloud. We'll be getting large amounts of data in a secure way as well. And then based on that, what are the new insights that you could generate on top of that data?
Yeah, that's quite a wide-ranging portfolio at that point. But I mean, in a lot of ways, it seems like it plays into this, farm beats, right? I mean, you're doing IoT, you're doing connectivity, right? It's about exposing data. I mean, what was the trigger for the idea of farm beats?
Right. So yeah, I started this project in end of 2014, beginning of 2015. And the reason I started it was because of my background. I grew up in India, and growing up, I used to spend a lot of time in my grandparents' farm. They lived in Bihar, which is one of the poorest states in India. They had a farm there. And every summer and winter vacation, as it happens in places like India, you spend a lot of time with your grandparents. So
they made you farm? That's mean.
It was fun being there. Yeah. But now, when I look back, it seems like fun. Back then, I did not enjoy it at all. I hated everything to do with agriculture. That is, 4 months a year, I would be in this village where there was no electricity, no toilets. You had to go out in the fields.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking forward to that. But you have to spend time with your grandparents. So I would go there. But when I used to go there, I did see extreme poverty back in those places. And it's still very bad out there.
Yeah.
Extreme poverty. People use primitive forms of agriculture. They still use bullet-driven tractors. That's what they use. And that has stuck to my mind. That is, through all the research that I do, I talked about this passion. But through all of this research, my goal is to build technologies that touch the people in the remote parts of the world, in these villages in India, in villages in Africa. Like, just to give you a number, they're close to 48% of the world doesn't have internet connectivity. They are just not seeing the benefits of all the digital transformation that's happening all over the world. And it's our responsibility to help them do better, to make their lives better, to help, like with so many farmers out there, can we build technology to bring them the benefits of data-driven agriculture? If they could use data to do their farming. Right now in agriculture, and I'm just expanding on the problem here, that is worldwide, not just in these small farms, a lot of decision that farmers take is based on guesswork. Like, right. When do you apply water? How much water do you apply? How much pesticide do you apply? How much fertilizer do you apply in different parts of the farm? When do you apply it? Like, even the most advanced farmers I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot over the last 5 years, even the most advanced farmers, when they have to decide how much fertilizer to apply in different parts of the farm, they base it on last year's yield. That is, places that yielded more or less, based on that, they'll decide how much fertilizer to apply, which is just not right. You should be applying nitrogen where it's needed. You should be using some of the regenerative agriculture practices to put carbon back into soil to make sure that you're not emitting as many greenhouse gas emissions. So this is where we need to use data and enable farmers to use data to make their day-to-day farming decisions. And that's the goal of FarmBeats.
Yeah, and the getting exposure and visibility to that data, that's not cheap, right? And when you're talking about subsistence farming and the like, I mean, that's right. Not easy to pick up. So it seems like this is providing the insight to it for minimal cost.
Right. Sorry, Evan, you were saying something?
Yeah, no, go ahead. I think that was Kale. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, just jumping in here. The
you know, this is something that stretches not just from, like you were mentioning, kind of very poor farming areas. I mean, even stretching up into enterprises, people being aware of technology and how to apply it to these different problem areas is something that touches everybody. So I think, wow, this is like amazing, by the way, that your background and like where you came from has kind of driven to this solution. First off, you're a hero of mine for doing that. And I think that's awesome. And, you know, but I think it really grounds it in finding a solution because you were there and saw this is what people were doing. This is an optimal solution that could help them. And they didn't even know this existed, right? And you're bringing some technology that was like no way they could be in touch with, I can assume, without someone like yourself stepping up here to do this.
Yeah, Kiel. And this is, you're exactly right. And this is similar to what Evan was saying as well, that one of the, so like people talk about data-driven agriculture and people have talked about it. But one of the biggest problems with existing solutions is that they're just unaffordable. It's not easy for farmers to adopt any of these technologies because, one, these farms don't have great connectivity, and the existing solutions are just quite expensive. And throughout the design of FarmBeats, we have been thinking of ways to bring down the cost of these solutions. How do you make these solutions more affordable for farmers worldwide? And this is around data acquisition. How do you solve the connectivity problem? How can you build these kind of maps of farms, like, for example, a soil moisture map, without using a sensor every 10 meters? How can you build such a map? And these are some of the innovations that we've come up with that have gone into the FarmBeats design and the FarmBeats product that we announced at Ignite last year.
So obviously this has a lot of different components that are used in combination to make up this solution. So can you give our listeners a sense for what's kind of behind this whole package? Is this a Azure website with some ML behind it? What kind of components from Azure are actually core to making FarmBeats work?
Right. So the FarmBeats is available as an Azure Marketplace offering. So anyone who is on Azure can go to Azure Marketplace and install FarmBeats. Once you install FarmBeats, what it does is it would set up two different resource groups. One is, and the core one is what we call a Data Hub. What Data Hub is it's essentially one place in the cloud where we can aggregate all the data from a farm. When I say farm, it could be a plot, it could be a field. Essentially, think of it as a polygon. So once you install FarmBeats, you can then, using these Swagger APIs around it, you can then create a farm. This essentially, it's a polygon. And then you can link sensors, you can link drones, you can link tractors, weather stations, satellites, all of those partner solutions, so that data can then start coming into Azure. Essentially, what you'll get is one place in the cloud where you have all the data from different partners. Like, and we have some very good partners that we've already announced. Like, for example, for sensors, there is Davis Instruments, which is one of the leading sensor manufacturers in agriculture. There's another really innovative sensor company called Teralytic, where they put 26 different sensors on a single probe. What we are doing is working with them and their partners, where once you create this plot in Data Hub in the cloud, you can then link in a Davis or a Teralytic sensor, and the data from those sensors would start flowing into Data Hub. You'll start seeing it in the cloud in one place. Same with some of the leading drone and robotics manufacturers. We partnered with DJI, with SenseFly, with SlantRange, and EarthSense. These are all, EarthSense builds ground robots. SlantRange has a really innovative solution for cameras with different, which can compensate for sun, for the clouds, and can give you a lot of key insights about what's happening in the farm. Same with, DJI and Parrot and SenseFly, these are some of the leading drone manufacturers out there. We've integrated with satellite data, with weather stations, and you can start seeing all of this data in the cloud in one place. Along with what we've done is we've taken this Data Hub and we've integrated this with Azure Notebooks. So what this means is you have so many data scientists out there who know how to use these Jupyter Notebooks. Once you have this Data Hub installed in the cloud, you can then fire up your own Azure Notebook instance and start writing your machine learning algorithms on top. In addition to that, we also, Palm Beach also comes with a solution accelerator, which includes code that we'll be licensing out to partners for device management. There is a sample dashboard that we've included with Palm Beach. We also have sample machine learning algorithms, ML models that we are including with the package. For example, one of the innovations that we had done as part of the Palm Beach research was a way to combine ground sensor data with aerial imagery. So the problem is the following. Suppose you have a farm and you wanted to build a map of what is the soil moisture model, moisture measurements, 6 inches below the soil throughout the farm. If you had to build an accurate map of soil moisture, you would need a sensor every 10 meters because soil moisture varies from row to row. But putting a sensor every 10 meters is going to be expensive to deploy, to manage, and will come in the way of the farmer. So what we did was we came up with a machine learning model where you intelligently put a few sensors in the ground, and then we can take aerial imagery from drones or satellites, and then we train the machine learning model based on the locations where you have the sensors. And then we, based on the aerial imagery and the insight that if two parts of the farm look similar, they have similar values, we make the predictions of what these values are in other parts of the farm. So using this, you need 10x fewer sensors to attain the same accuracy as what you would do otherwise. And this is a machine learning model that we are shipping as part of Palm Beach. So going back, the Palm Beach consists of this data hub. It consists of the solution accelerator. And the way we are taking it to market is through partners as well. And to listeners of this podcast, this is an opportunity for you to start building more solutions on top of Palm Beach. That is, we realize at Microsoft that we are not an agriculture company and we don't have the reach to the farmers or the agricultural expertise. So we haven't built Palm Beach as a grower-facing product. It's not something that a farmer would install and use. They are not a targeted customer. This is more for ag tech businesses. This is more for partner ISVs to build these solutions on top. For example, a connected livestock scenario, a precision agriculture scenario. You could build all of these solutions on top and take it to the market. And we're making it really easy by, one, adding more and more types of partners' data that can be ingested into Palm Beach, and two, making it really easy to build new AI and machine learning algorithms on top. Because now with the power of Azure, with the power of the cloud, you can then start bringing in all of these new models to agriculture.
This sounds really cool, but I'm gonna have to go back to one thing you said. And the minute you said it, I think I'm getting the right image, but I don't think I've ever thought of connected livestock before. I've heard of connected cars, I've heard of connected devices, but you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, that's the resource in that environment that you're trying to track, right? Is a livestock, a pig, a cow, whatever it is, right? That's what you're trying to track.
Yeah. That's true. And you can, the more data you get, you could, and this is what is the future of agriculture. When people talk about the future of agriculture, they talk of a technology called precision agriculture. That is doing site-specific application of inputs. For example, if I have a farm, right now, many farmers would just uniformly apply water in the farm, uniformly apply pesticide in the farm. But what you should be doing is you should apply water only where it is needed, as much as it is needed, and when it is needed. And for that, you need these accurate maps of farms and for irrigation, for fertilizer, for pesticide. For all of these, you need these accurate maps. Just building these maps is so non-trivial. And that is what we are enabling with Palm Beach. While we could do it for outdoor crops, for broadacre crops, for horticulture, we could do the same thing with livestock. That is, you could come up, there's another technology called precision nutrition. That is, you should be treating every livestock differently based on the mobility patterns, based on the health, based on the productivity of each animal. You could then feed each animal differently. Any of these precision agriculture technologies would then has multiple benefits. One, it helps a farmer be more productive. They can grow more. They can grow better animals. Two, it helps them reduce costs. They use less water, less pesticide, less nutrients. And third, it's also sustainable. That is, you're not wasting water, you're not wasting pesticide, right? So it's just, that's the future towards which we all are moving with, and Palm Beach is our contribution in that space.
Hey, Ranveer, this is Cynthia. Sorry I joined late. Following up on what you just said, I'm curious if there has been research or studies that are done comparing like what are the outcomes or recommendations from farm beats versus when people just relied on their tribal knowledge on what they think is best for their crops or what they think is best for their livestock.
Yeah.
And how do those compare?
Yeah, Cynthia, and that's a great question. And there was actually, this is a very timely question as well. There is a new video that we've released, and you'll be able to see it in the links that we provide after this podcast. It's an interview with a farmer in Eastern Washington. He's a fifth-generation wheat farmer, and he used farm beats in his farm, and he talks about some of the benefits that he got. For example, he needed to spray less than 50% of what he would spray previously in the farm, and spraying is not cheap. It's quite expensive. And this is a 9,000 acre wheat farmer. He also talks about doubling the yield in certain parts of the farm based on the knowledge that he got from farm beats. And this is where I think with this kind of technology, farmers can now be empowered to start taking these decisions to be more productive, to be saving costs. And the other thing they might not explicitly realize is how much they are benefiting the environment in the process. Like by spraying 50% less, you're spraying 50% less herbicide, you're not spraying those chemicals which are harmful for the environment. You're saving on the environmental, you're creating environmental impact as well. And in fact, the other side benefit of farm beats, which I like talking about, and this particular farmer is an ideal use case, is that farm beats and other tech like farm beats, it's not just farm beats, helps agriculture become cool again. Like, you know, one of the big problems in agriculture.
I love that.
We're putting that as a tagline to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, one of the problems in agriculture is the aging population of the farmers. Most of the next generation of farmers don't want to do farming. They will go to cities. And this is not just a problem in the US. This is a problem worldwide. Even in the villages that I talked of in Bihar, where I grew up, the next generation of farmers, they would go to the city. They would not earn much, but they just want to get away from the village. And what we are doing with farm beats is getting all this tech back into agriculture. What this is doing is this is enabling people from the cities to even go back to their roots. Like this farmer that I was talking about in Eastern Washington, Andrew Nelson, he did that. He was a fifth generation farmer. He came here, he studied at University of Washington, and he worked on contract at Microsoft at a few other tech companies. But then he wanted to apply tech to agriculture, and that's what drove him back. And I think with this, because we are getting all the latest and greatest advancements in cloud, in technology to agriculture, we talk of drones, robots, AI, machine learning, anything you talk about is what we are applying here. In fact, new innovations, like, for example, TV white spaces, all that stuff, we are bringing to agriculture, where people who are enthusiasts can now get exposed to the latest tech when they work in ag. And that's something which I'm also very passionate about. And there's some work that we are doing with Microsoft Philanthropies in this space, where Microsoft Philanthropies helped us create these FarmBeat student kits that we gave out to the FFA chapters all across US. So this is the Future Farmers of America. And we held a competition. There were a few hundred high schools that applied, and we picked 50 of them, and we gave them these farm beat student kits. And then we are helping them structure a curriculum around data-driven agriculture. The goal is that students, when they are young, when they are still in high school, these future farmers should be exposed to technology, should be exposed to what is the future of agriculture. And if we train them right, they can help us shape our future the right way.
Farm hacking, I love it. This is super cool.
It almost sounds like a video game that you're playing now, except you're in real life.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy. Yeah, that's here. This is what farmers can do once they start using tech, right? They can. This is all the pleasures of gaming, all the fun of gaming, but in
and you see like real results.
Yeah.
One question I had too was around, particularly around the data you've been talking about here throughout this podcast, specifically when you mentioned things like satellites and a lot of times when machine learning or AI is involved, there's a lot of historic data that's being used as part of that. Is that something that's like a core component to this? And is that like part of the platform? Meaning like you know, saying, hey, on your farm, we can now use satellite imagery like on this thing. That seems very expensive and something that wouldn't scale very well. How's that being, the price being democratized for that, so that that technology can actually be used instead of it's being so expensive?
Right. And that's a good question, too. And in the FarmBeats platform, satellite is one of the core components of data that comes in. That is, with FarmBeats, we are getting data from the farm, that is from sensors in the farm, drones in the farm, tractors in the farm. But that is giving us a very farm-specific information. What satellites give us is a more macro-level information. And this is where we are ingesting satellite data as well. So once you install FarmBeats, you can then subscribe to one of the satellite providers so that you can then start streaming that satellite data in. And with satellite data, it's with satellite imagery, we are not just talking red, green, blue. We are also talking of other spectral bands as well, which are very valuable because there are some bands which are very good indicators of crop health, other bands which are very good indicators of the moisture content, how much water do you need? And these optical bands, we need that information to provide accurate insights to farmers, to policymakers, to companies. And the other question you asked was, well, the way we could ingest that is because we are leveraging the power of the cloud here, right? It would be very difficult without a cloud-based solution to be handling and managing this kind of imagery at scale. The way we are, and the satellite imagery right now is getting more democratized in the sense that there are a few agencies, like, for example, this is NASA or the European Space Agency. They do release their satellite products, the satellite imagery off their own website. But the thing is, it does need a lot more processing before it can be used. And that is where we leverage the power of Azure. We have created pipelines. We do the ingestion. We do the cleaning of the data. We make sure that it is usable and then write the additional AI ML algorithms on top of that data to create those insights. And right now, our satellite partners are these government agencies, but we are also talking to other companies which have satellite imagery data, which could be ingested into the FarmBeats platform as well.
That's super cool. Super impressed. And so this is something you mentioned that's in the Azure Marketplace, so we can drop a link into our show notes. And then obviously, if you have any other things you want to share with our listeners of either videos, documentation, or any of that kind of thing, definitely send that along. But I found this like a very powerful podcast. So thank you for coming and joining and enlightening us on your work here, because it's super awesome. And, very inspiring, obviously, as well, too.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And for our listeners, please reach out if you want any more information. We'd love to work with you as we together help transform the agriculture vertical.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.